Bibles to Romans chapter 9, and I'll get started this morning. Romans chapter 9, and I'm just going to read three verses. Excuse me. I can back away from that mic to cough, but I can't back away from this one. Romans chapter 9, I want to begin reading in verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And I'm just going to stop right there, because that last verse, 16, is pretty much what I want to talk about. I still get tickled reading Romans 9, because that was one of the things Earl had. He was the pastor here before he passed away. And one of the things he would throw at you is, do you want to answer the four questions in Romans chapter 9? And I'd look at him and I'd say, I don't know. But he'd usually throw it at somebody asking him something about something else, about his job as a preacher. There are some tough questions in this book, okay? But this is easy because you already got the answer. Is there unrighteousness with God? The answer is no. There you go. End of discussion if you really want to leave it there. There's not, there never has been, there never will be. And shame on you for thinking that. It's almost a rhetorical question, but Paul wanted to make sure you had the answer. God forbid. Now, I found out something the other day, Walter, that W.E. Best wrote a book. He actually wrote several, which Walter knows more about them than I do. But I had heard of him, and you and Earl had talked about him in times past. He's out of Texas. But I went on the internet to find out something about somebody else, and I found a website, which is pretty good, where it had a bunch of old books on the web. So I looked for W.E. Best because I remembered Walter and Earl talking about him. And I didn't find any of his there, but so I Google searched him. I found a webest.org kind of sign or something like that. And all of his books are available online for PDF. You can Google search him if you want to. But I found one with this title. And I did not know he had wrote this one. And the title of this book is called The Most Neglected Chapter in the Bible. And then in parentheses, it says Romans chapter 9. End of parentheses. And I looked at that, Walter, and I said, darn it. Somebody beat me to it. Because that's something I have always said. Actually, I like the way he put it, most neglected chapter in the Bible. I used to call it the least preached chapter in the Bible. And I still do. The least talked about, the least understood, one of them. Because the best you can hope for in other places, in most churches today, is that somebody won't explain away too much of Romans chapter 9. They won't read it for what it says. They won't have what it says. They don't like what it says, so they don't preach what it says. And if they do preach from it, they try to preach away what it says. In this place here, they probably hear more about Romans chapter 9 in 1 year than most people will hear in their lifetime. And I know they hear more truth. This is because the world is religious. Churches around us, church buildings, assemblies, are religious. And religion hates Romans chapter 9. Yeah. Believers love it. Amen. But the religious hate it because it exposes a good deal of what we are and what we cannot do. Romans chapter 9 is all about a sovereign God. And a sovereign God does not fit in most people's religion. Modern religion especially, but older religions too. That's why Paul had to write this. People aren't any different than they used to be. We just speak different languages. And we may have added some new twists in with the internet and with television, with radio, but the truth is the truth still to this day. And the lie is the lie still until this day. But the subjects written here, as far as I'm concerned, are two of the best in Scripture as far as believers are concerned, which means they're two of the most hated by religion. This chapter deals with election and sovereign salvation. That's the first thing that I've ever heard explained about Romans 9. The first thing I heard about it was wrong. Let's put that out in front of it. They would say, well, Romans 9 doesn't concern salvation. You've heard it. I know you have. He was in the same place I was. You heard it. And others of you may have. See, this just has to do with Jacob and Esau. It has to do with the Jews. Well, it does have to do with the Jews. It does have to do with election. And election is unto salvation. Election is not salvation, but it is unto it. And here's a secret that a lot of people don't know. God has never changed. However he chose anyone, Old Testament or New, it's the same. I am the Lord, I change not. He gives them an explanation. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Because if God would change, it would be against us. Because he's already for us. If you believe him, if you know him, if he chose you. God is for you. So for him to change toward you would not be good. This verse, chapter 9, verse 16, and I'm going to be kind of quick about this, I hope. But it has two negative statements and then a positive statement. The first negative statement is this: so then, it is not of him that willeth. And if you want to, you can leave the "it is" out. So then, not of him that willeth. Now, the direct antecedent to this, direct reference to this is, I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. Okay. So mercy and compassion is not of him that willeth. That's pretty simple, isn't it? When you read it, just read it straight out. It's pretty simple. But this also refers a little further back, if you want. Part that I didn't read, where it says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Sure. That's in verse 12. Verse 11 before that even goes further. It says, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, not the purpose of man, the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Not of works. Not even of man. It's of him that calleth. That's where the purpose of God in election stands. In him that calls. Not in me who answers, even though I don't answer until he gives me the answer. I do answer, but only after he gives it to me. That's the only way I can give a good answer, is if God gives it to you. Election is of God. The choice was made by the Creator. The choice was made before man was ever born. The choice was made before man was ever created. The choice was made before the world was created. From before the foundation of the world. That's scripture also. The election was in Christ, and it is unto salvation. And it is of him that calleth. It is not of him that willeth. I still remember, and actually I was reading in that, well, I think it was actually the one I was looking for beforehand, was Newell. He quoted the famous thing about where this woman talked to Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon. He said, "I don't understand how God couldn't love Esau." And Spurgeon is said to have replied correctly, "That's not the marvelous thing. I don't understand how he could love Jacob." We are, in and of ourselves, pretty much unlovable. We are, in and of ourselves, pretty much unlikable, much less unlovable. And here's the thing. This was the example he gave. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Jacob wasn't willing. And Jacob wasn't running. Matter of fact, if you want to talk about Jacob, he was running away. He was running away from Esau. It is of God that shows mercy. He is merciful to whomever he will be merciful. God is merciful. God is gracious. God is salvation. But there's one thing that people refuse to see, is that God is always, and through every page of this book, God is particular. He's particular with his mercy. He's particular with his grace. He's particular with his compassion. He's particular with his election. He's particular with his salvation. He's particular about anything having to do with the person and work of his only begotten Son. His word will not return unto him void. It shall accomplish that for which he purposed it. Guaranteed. Why? Because he purposed it, he'll do it. He purposed it, he does it. He purposed it, he will do it. God is not like us. I intend to do a lot of things, Walter. I'm happy if I get half of them done. God gets everything done in the fullness of time. I read it last couple of weeks. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem. That was his purpose. That purpose was accomplished, but in a particular way. It always has been. That's part of what this chapter is all about. God chooses. God's mercy is as particular as Christ's redemption, Walter. God's mercy, God's grace, God's compassion is as particular as the redemption of Jesus Christ. It's as particular as God wants it to be, because our God sits in the heavens and he's done whatsoever he has pleased. Yeah. I skipped a page, or part of it anyway. Now, the next negative says it's not of him that runneth. Now, what was it Henry said? Going about. Going about to establish their own righteousness. Man is always going about something. Man specializes in doing. And man specializes in religious doing. And even if they don't specialize in religious doing, they specialize in telling you what you're supposed to do. Do as I say, not as I do. That one never went over really well with me. Even though I've used it since then. It's true. I'll tell on myself. I'm not that proud. Did you know that God has no hands but your hands? I didn't know that either, Walter. I was told that. God has no feet but your feet. God has no mouth but your mouth. Well, maybe that's your God, but it ain't mine. And it's not the God of this book. Christ told his disciples one day, if these shut up shouting, so the rocks will cry out. He wasn't lying. It was the truth. God doesn't need us. And all my running does is get me into trouble. Like I said, Jacob was running away. Walter said it before, and I will steal from him just as freely as I steal from everybody else. I will repent later. There are places around us where they advertise their heresy on the church building wall. What does this say? It's not of him that willeth. What do they have on the top of their churches? Free Will Baptist Church. Free Will Assembly of God in Jesus Christ's name. Free will, this, free will. The longer the title, the bigger the heresy. I'll tell you that right now. That's the way it works. The longer the title, the more the error. But there's free will this, there's free will that, there's free will everything. Paul didn't even comment on whether your will is free or not. Because it doesn't matter. It's not of him that willeth. Whether it's free, whether it's not, it doesn't matter. Because it's not of him that willeth. It doesn't matter how much you run. It doesn't matter what you do. We're talking about election. We're talking about salvation, which election is unto salvation. Election is unto mercy and grace being revealed in a person from God. Faith being given. Life being given. And believing happening. It's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. Both of these negatives state the same thing. It's not a man.
Right, not a man.
It's not of me, and it's not of you. And it's not of anyone else you know. Because it's not of him. That's what he says twice. It's not of him that wills or runs. It's not of him. It's not of me. It's not of man. It's not of woman. It's not of anybody. But then, of course, thankfully, he doesn't leave you there. He says, it is of God that shows mercy. It is of God. It's of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. It's not of you. It is of God. And that is the part that people absolutely hate. I've seen it. I've seen it in their eyes. I've seen it in a fist pointed at me. Now, it didn't hit me or anything, which is okay. I didn't want to get hit. I wasn't in a scrapping mood. I have been in scrapping moods before. I have been angry. But I wasn't there. Because that was the big foo-for-all at the old church that we used to go to. And I was not the offended party in that discussion. Their anger may have been directed at me, but their anger was with God. That showeth mercy. And I wasn't mad. I was hurt. I was disappointed. I was saddened. I wasn't a bit mad. Now, if I'd heard some of the things Walter heard on the other side of church, I might have been a little scared. But I wasn't that, because I didn't hear those things. But still, when it comes down to it, whether I'm standing here or was sitting in the auditorium at that place, and I stood up, it's not about me.
Right.
Ever. You can take offense at me, and I'll do my best to make it right. But if you get offended at God, that's your problem.
Right.
If you get offended at this word, what this word says, what this word teaches, what Jesus Christ said of his own lips, that's your problem. I can't help you. Because it's not of him that willeth. And it's not of him that runneth. And it's not of me. And it's not of you. It's of God that shows mercy. Election is of God. The choice was made by the Creator before the world ever made. Before the foundation of the world. Not even before the world. Before the foundation of the world. And it was in Christ unto salvation. Matter of fact, it says this. It's John 1 verse 10 says he was in the world. And he was. He came. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. That is exactly, perfectly true right now. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But, and this is still true too, as many as received him. Now, this is received as in he gave himself to them. To them gave he more. Gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Not of blood, that's the next one, nor of the will of the flesh. So Paul's backing up in writing what Jesus Christ said. Nor of the will of man. That leaves us all out. But of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This verse that I got stuck here on, David's not here, I'll talk about him. A few years ago, I got a book from David that used to be one of Earl's. And it's a book about yay thick, but it's not very tall. And it's just about, you know, like this big. But it's about this thick, and it says Romans verse by verse. And I've gotten, and I've looked at it a couple of times, but I got to thinking the other day, I saw it, and I grabbed it. Well, whenever anybody comments on Romans, I look at 9. That's where I look, you know. When anybody comments on John, I'll look at 6, and I'll look at 10. Chapter 6 and chapter 10. But this guy had his book, and I read this in it. And it's pretty darn good. So I may have to read more of that book. He wrote this. This is William R. Newell. And he is writing of Romans chapter 9, verse 16. And he states this: "Oh, that this great verse might sink into our ears, into our very hearts. Perhaps no statement of all Scripture so completely brings man to an utter end. Man thinks he can will and decide Godward. And that after he is decided and willed, he has the ability to run. Or as he says, to hold out." I know who this guy's been talking to. "But these two things, deciding and holding out or running, are in this verse utterly rejected as the source of salvation, which is declared to be God that hath mercy." I like that. Man ought to will, man ought to run. But we are all nothing but sinners and can do, will do, neither. Not Godward. Unless God come forth to us in sovereign mercy. I like that. I like that. So I went online looking for more stuff by him, but that's the only book I could see that he wrote. There's something, another little something that I got. Something about Peter versus Paul in Galatians 1 and 2. I haven't read that yet, but I'm going to look at it. This is a good verse for anybody. And I mean, this is how I started out using verses and finding these things, was to reply to people who would tell me they would will and they would run in their own good time. I've been told that. And I know people who believe it to this day. But Paul said it, repeating what Christ said. It's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. It's of God that shows mercy. And when God shows mercy, you have mercy. You don't have to will. You don't have to run. You got it. To as many as receive. That means he gave it to them. And then he gave us the power. The power to live, the power of faith, the power to believe him. He gave that to us. It's his gift. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time, this place. And Lord, we ask for your blessings through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for the blessings you have given us in our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. In whose name we pray. Amen.